pray. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would just settle our hearts before you. Lord, the things that you have for us, that we be, have our ears to hear. Lord, not just for an intellectual knowledge of who you are, but Lord, a life lived with you. So, Lord, we ask that you just continue to reveal yourself to us, that we would be able to walk with you, and you can walk us through these days. Lord, we ask that you would have mercy on this country. And we know that there's no answer in an earthly leader. And there will only be peace on earth when you reign and rule. But Lord, we ask that your grace would go forth, and Lord, that you would allow your body to have time to spread your love. Lord, help us to learn to live in a way that's unoffendable, but keeping our eyes fixed on you, the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, we know it's not anything that we can do, but we do know it's your will and something you want to do. So Lord, we just ask that you would just reveal yourself to us and speak to us this morning. Draw us closer, Lord, that we can leave more in love with you than when we got here, and that we would know you just a bit more. In Jesus' name. So we're going to look at, okay. Let's just read. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject men, but God, who also has given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Indeed, you do so towards all the brethren who are all in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands as we commanded you, that you might walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. I think we're going to get through these verses. We'll see. I'm not going to go past these. I know that. Last week we were talking about really a lot in verse 3 where it talks about, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. And that word can also be translated holiness. And so when we go through here, we're going to see these words intermingle, but it's the same word in the Greek. So I think it's important that for that. When you consider the holiness of God and who he is, what characteristics come to your mind?
Purity.
Okay. Pure.
Genuine.
Genuine.
He said strength. Perfection.
Strength, perfection. Anything else? There's a lot more.
Patience.
Patience. Yeah.
Love.
Loving. He always does right.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Sinless.
Perfect.
Welcoming.
Yep.
Long suffering.
Oh. We're talking about the Lord, not you. She has to deal with the law. That meant not anything good.
Follow that up with mercy.
Yeah, thank you.
Editing on this recorded.
No, it's recorded in heaven. So there's his father editing down here.
I think he's going to be very bright.
Bright. He is the light of the world. You see, in his holiness, there's so much to contain and to explain it. It's hard to, but the more you can see of the Lord Jesus and in his characteristics and who he is, the greater ability that as he reveals himself to us, it gives us a greater ability to walk in faith, trusting him. And if I can see that in my life that he will always do right, and then I can trust that that no matter what happens, I'm going to be with the Lord. And so all these things are taking place. Keep in mind, this letter is being written to young believers, 6 months in the Lord, that are dying for their faith. And it's an encouragement to press on, to keep seeking after Jesus, to keep going after him. The only thing Paul can encourage them in this whole time is keep increasing, keep moving forward, press on towards that upward call. Press on in your faith. Press on in your love. And so the question is, how's all this look? How's this work out? How do these things, you know, we all struggle through our day-to-day. What's it say to, you know, to walk before God, you know, for our salvation with fear and trembling. You know, a lot of times I think people are worried, like fearing and trembling a lot. Instead of the rest of it, it's God who works in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. You see, if I look to myself, there's going to be struggles. I found in my life I needed a Savior almost 30 years ago. I find in my life, moment by moment, every day, I need a Savior today. And I really think the Lord's trying to bring us to a place that he's crowding us to himself. He's corralling us to himself, I should say. He's taking the things and bringing it to a point to say all that you need is found in me. And all that you need, I will provide if you trust me. Knowing that I will work all things together for the good for those who love God and call according to his purpose. So in sanctification and bringing us to his holiness, as we get to see the beauty of who he is, it takes away, and last week I was talking about it's not just sin that he takes away and wants to move and corral out of your life, but it's even the things that he created and said, this is good. To where the things that we even think that we can find pleasure in on this earth should not satisfy anywhere than when we come and spend time with the Lord. And the peace we have with him. So in verse 4 it says to us, here's where it comes. It says, to each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. You all got it? No? Well, we talked about sanctification as holiness, but when you consider honor, what does it mean to possess your vessel in honor to you? What do you think that said?
To know the living God dwells in me and that is what I do.
Okay. The word honor in the Greek is it's to bring a point. It's to understand that there is a value that is money paid. Meaning, take hold of the value that the Son paid for you. Which the value is found in the Son and in His love. So when I set myself to a place where I want to be, that sanctification and the holiness, I set myself before the Lord, and I find that I'm no longer my own, right? 1 Corinthians teaches us that, right? That you're not your own. Right? Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We came to Him, we surrendered to Him, and a reminder to us is to remember that we're not, to continue to, I'm not my own. I came to you because I needed a Savior, and I'm going to keep coming to you because I need a Savior. It simply says that, so it's understanding that God set a value on you. God has honored you. And the fact that He loves you, and the fact that He can't deny Himself, and that He wants us to understand that it's an invitation to come into, to enter into His will, to yield to the callings that He's putting in your life. See, we don't go after passion of loss like the Gentiles who do not know God. It's like, there's many good things you can go after. I love pizza. And I go after it all the time. And I'd be a lot bigger person for it. But sometimes you have to say no. There's things we go after. But ultimately, the Lord's desiring for us to go after Him. So no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of us all, and you've been forewarned. Look, there's no reason, I don't even understand why we would want to teach anything else, that we've been put here by a loving God, and He wants to know you, or He wants you to know Him. So go after Him. I don't understand why you would even want to teach anything else. I don't see the benefit of it. But then it says that God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Or, but in holiness. I think it's really interesting here, if you really look at verse 7, it says God did not call you to, but in. God's not calling you to something. He's calling you into something. He's not calling you to uncleanness. He's calling you into fellowship. He's giving you access. He's calling you in. Draw near to me. What does He say? And I will draw near to you. Right? The Lord's offer has always been, come. His offer is always going to be, come. It's one of the, I know you guys hear me say, but I'm not going to be sharing anything new, because there's nothing new to share. It just needs to be true. Right? And it needs to come from the Lord. And we need to focus, keep our focus on Him. But there's a lot about, people talk about God's call in people's lives. And I'm called to this. I'm called to that. I see in Scripture very few things you're called to. And it all stems from one thing. In 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? So you're called. It's an answer. We have to respond to the call. Here, we see what God didn't call us to. It's not uncleanness. But it's in holiness. Whose holiness here? When you read the verse, whose holiness is it? He's calling you in holiness, meaning that He's calling you in everything that He is. Perfectly, everything we said before. Because He's right, He calls you. Because He's just, He calls you. Because He's loving, He calls you. Because He can't deny Himself, He calls you. And He says, come. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Learn from me. Right? I'm gentle. The Lord desires for us to see Him for who He is and be thankful for all that He's done, that we just feel comfortable to come. He knows who He made. He seems our frame and that we're but dust. But yet He still loves. Because He can't deny Himself. You see, Him loving you is because He's a loving God. Not anything special in any one of us. It's just the simple fact that He's love. So as we're called into holiness, called in holiness, it's funny, it says right after that, who rejects this does not reject men but God, who also has also given us His Holy Spirit. You see, the Lord always gives the same thing in our need. Everything you need in your life today is found in one. It's not a thing. It's a person. It's in Him. It's in Christ. It's in knowing Him. Does that mean I'm going to have a perfect life and everything go great? Ask Him. No. When we live right and trust in the Lord, we talked about it last week, that they don't come after you. The war and the hate is not against you. It's against the one in you. And how we talked about when we have soldiers that go in other countries for wars, when they're getting shot at, it's not personal. It's just two countries fighting. And so the same is happening in our lives. But the Lord's calling us into, not unto uncleanness. Look, what uncleanness? That's a long list. But it's a lot easier to remember a simple list than a single thing, and that's one. And it's all, it's into Himself. It's into a relationship to get to know Him. And so He's given us His Holy Spirit. Why do you think it puts this right here to where He'll sit there and say, whoever rejects this doesn't reject man, but God, but all, who has also given us the Holy Spirit? No, I can't really. I wanted to say Joe said, but no, I don't know if everybody heard it. But just like Jesus is our mediator and our intercessor and our great high priest, look what happens here. Paul's saying everything what you're being called into, and man's going to try to take it away, but I've given you all that you need to walk in it. Walk in. I've given you myself. These three are one. Right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When you're born again, His Spirit comes in to your spirit. And He's given us a guarantee of our inheritance. And so, there is going to be an interaction with God, the Holy Spirit within you, to guide you into all truth. To bring you to Christ, to point to Jesus. Convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and the coming judgment. So the Holy Spirit's there to convict, not condemn. And so conviction comes really when we get a greater vision of who God is. And when we see Him, it brings us a greater picture of who we're not. Which brings us to a place where we need Him more. I think that's what sanctification is. When I'm constantly saying, I can't, but you can. I've tried. It doesn't work. Save me. But when we look at the whole, speak of His holiness, and we talked about that, a couple verses I want to go to. Turn with me to Psalm 110. While you're turning there, I want to read Psalm 89, verse 35, which says, once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. You see, the scriptures teach that He lifts His word above His name. He gives us His words that we have something to hold on to, or a framework that we can understand how God moves, in a sense, in a way. This is all going to hopefully come together. Verse 3 of Psalm 110 says, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties, plural, of holiness, from the womb of the morning. I do know that through this whole chapter it's talking about Jesus. But I like the fact that there's something in there that says, the people, your people, shall be volunteers. When? In the day of power. In the beauty of holiness. You see, to me, the day of power is moving when we see the beauty of His holiness. And we can actually just get a visual of a revelation of the Lord that moves me to say, here I am. We have examples and scriptures with it. And I want to save that for at the end. But what it is what we're seeing is every time we see that when people get a vision of who the Lord is, they have an opportunity to respond. It's not going to change you. It's not going to, but we have to access by faith in the grace in which we stand. So when I see the things the Lord's saying, I'm going to say, Lord, let it be to me according to your will. Right? According unto your will. Turn to Hebrews 12. We talked last week about what is it that pleases the Lord, and we say, right? So when we look at Hebrews 12, I think we're going to read a little bit of it, and I'm going to hopefully use some of this to help it help me not understand, but to see the Lord better, I guess. I'm going to read verses 1 to 15. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us. I believe that the sin there is faith. It's the one area that every one of us has to choose to enter into by the grace of God. It's the one that easily ensnares us when we don't believe. And so everything in this is a race of faith. And he's pointing, because we know this, because he says, let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. You see, it's all wrapped around faith. The Hebrews, whoever the writer was, Holy Spirit, is writing Hebrews that were being persecuted.
same as Paul in Thessalonians. He's writing to these people that are being persecuted for loving the Lord and trying to draw near to Him. And the possibility in all of our hearts and all of our lives is to stop pressing forward. So let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there in whom the Father does not chasten? If you are without chastening, of which all of you become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For indeed, for a few days chastens us as seemed best to them. Now, here's this verse, the rest of this. But He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. I thought about this a little bit this morning, and I don't know if anybody wonders how Jesus could learn through chastening when He didn't do anything wrong. But we're told here that because Jesus walked by faith, back up in here, verse 2, despising the shame, He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, the whole thing, this was something Jesus had to go through in physical life, something that was promised before eternity, that He was going to come and die and rise again and sit and be at the right hand of God and reign and rule. So He actually learned this as He went through. Not that there was any sin, just natural life's consequences need to bring us to a place that we see the holiness of the Lord as we go through the circumstances of life that He brings us to. And to the resurrected life that we have. That we may be partakers of His holiness. So, it's good to know that when the Lord says wrong, it's for your holiness. When He says right, it's for your holiness. But it doesn't stop there, because it says that you can partake of His holiness. And it says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. We can all agree to that. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Doesn't stop there to those who are trained by it. You see, there's a peaceable fruit of righteousness in a person's life that I can have peace, bringing forth the fruit of righteousness, the righteousness I received from God, when I'm trained by it. You see, I can have peace when I know it's in the Lord's hands. I can have peace And every little bit of my life where I'm not believing, the Lord wants to reveal a greater vision of who He is to me, so I have a greater understanding so I can believe. I don't need to sit there and be shown everything I do wrong, to be cut away from and all these things. But I can be shown right. And He's right. And He wants to live that through us. And see, one, and then it says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and feeble knees to make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Same word, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. He continues, but I'm stopping there. It's very simple that when we don't allow the Lord to, this isn't for condemnation, it's just true. When we don't allow the love of God to come into our lives and receive it, there's no way you can give it. Because it's His love put in you, we have the Holy Spirit, and He is love. But when we understand that the rest, that the people around us and everything going on and different things are going through the same thing, everyone's tired, everybody's frustrated, seems like the world's spinning out of control, and our only hope is Jesus, come quickly, Lord Jesus, but wait a minute. Don't come too soon, there's people I care for I don't want to see with me, type thing. And that's the Lord's heart, so if I have that, it's Him working in it. We need to come to a place where we're very careful that we don't fall short of the grace of God. How much does God's grace does it take to bring you here today? To save you from the pit. To give you life. How much grace? Paul said that he was the chiefest of sinners. That what he's telling us that you can't go any further in grace than that. But when he moved on, he said that he's the least of all the apostles, meaning that he understands that in and of himself it wasn't a good thing. Right? And I can't go back and I can strive and struggle and try to do good. And I mean, you have Romans, the things I will do, I don't do, the things I will not do, these things I practice. Who, not what, will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. That's our deliverance. We thank the Lord. And it's because He calls us, He draws us, He brings us in, and He shows Himself to us. So if these are, we know these to be true, right? The Lord wants to love us, for us to see, well, God's love. He wants us to see His love. And He wants the whole world to see that love. But He's not walking the earth now in His own physical body. He just multiplied Himself. And everybody that chooses to walk with Him. And as we do, we got to remember the grace with which we've received so that we can give grace. I need to remember the love. What scripture we were talking, I think a couple weeks ago, He who's been forgiven much, loves much. And finding the fact that in everything that I've ever done wrong, will do, my fault, everything is forgiven. And knowing all this stuff, He still says, come. It should bring about thanksgiving and a desire to share what God's doing in it. That's all. And that's going to practically work out in many ways. So, any thoughts real quick? Man, I probably not good to have a quick pause. I kind of want to give you an example here. Shortly. So, I'm going to flip with me to Romans 12. And the only reason why I'm going through all these things is just because, like everybody here, we might not have, well, you never know. Some of the circumstances that happened then when you gave your life to the Lord, where your family would just cut you off and have a funeral for you. Or literally they would kill you. And they still do these things in different countries here as well. But this is Paul saying the same thing in Rome. He says the same thing in all the letters. Because there's only one thing to say. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So wait a minute, I can prove God's will, that He's calling me in to holiness. I can prove God's will, that He's calling me into fellowship. Yeah, because by faith I enter in. This whole statement here is faith. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. What's God looking for you to do? Come. That's your reasonable service. Anything else do you see there? No, he's saying, if you come before me, I'll reveal to you if you're walking in my will. I'll prove it. And he does. Can anybody think of an Old Testament description of that, these statements? Or, I don't know if that's the right word. That's really a picture of somebody's life that actually this describes. It's mentioned in some of these. Isaiah 6. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So His message is still the same. Verse 1, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one 6 wings, and 2 covered His face, 2 covered His feet, and with 2 He flew. One cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So here's our example. The Lord's revealed to Him. Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What do we see that takes place when somebody's sitting before the Lord? When the Lord reveals Himself to them? Huh?
We see what we're made of.
Repentance. Isaiah was a prophet used by God. God revealed Himself, but then when he stood before the Lord, all he could see is, I am undone. I'm a man unclean lips. It's what we are without Christ. That's who we are without Christ. And what happens when we come to the place in our lives? The same thing as with Isaiah. And one of them, the seraphim, flew to me, maybe not this part of it, but having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, for your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." This is what's going to happen as we come and enter into His grace and His throne of grace, and we ask for mercy and grace in time of need. We see ourselves as unclean and undone without Him. And the Lord will send a messenger to touch and say, "You're clean. Your sins have been purged." And that's where you are if you're in Christ. He's touched you. You're clean. What's the next reaction with Isaiah after that? "I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?'" You see, at the same time, I can see, hear from the Lord that you're not, I am. Want to go? "A body you have prepared for me." We don't go to a building for a temple. We are the temple. A moving temple. A living temple. And when Isaiah was brought to a place where he saw the Lord, he was cleansed, and he heard, he said, "Here am I. Send me." Notice God didn't say anything about what he was being. "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" For what? Where? How? That wasn't his response. "Here I am." This part I'm suggesting, "Here I am, send me," comes from understanding you've been cleansed. Understanding that you've been touched by the Lord, and it's not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit, like, "Hey, I got this great, awesome gift. Want it?" Our Lord's a consuming fire. Have you ever thought what that means? I think that He wants to burn everything else up in your life to bring you to Himself. Jesus said, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest." Right? The fields are ready unto harvest. Pray that the Lord will send. But you see, what we found before was, and the psalmist said in Psalm 110, and we'll read it again. "Your people shall be volunteers." Who volunteered there? Isaiah. When did he volunteer? In the day of the Lord's power. The Lord gave him the revelation. The Lord gave him the cleansing through the coal. The Lord even gave him the willingness out of a heart of love to respond from the cleansing to say, "Here I am." That's the beauties of His holiness. It's hard to imagine a God of this much grace to look at the world that we live in and still say, "I love you." And He wants to make that change in our lives as we agree with Him and repent in the way we think. in areas where we cut short grace in people's lives, where we don't express the full love of Jesus. Just look down at verse 11, Psalm 111, verse 4, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And so when we consider the things Paul is asking, they're trying to encourage to be established in your most holy faith. Right? The Lord wants to get us to be established, that we can come back and trust in Him, that we can continue to come back. Look, I guarantee you, if you examine every day, well, if any one of you comes back and tells me, I did everything right yesterday, I'm going to call you a liar. Unless you slept all day, or got translated, and we're nowhere in sight. Can't make it on our own. And so, we just have to remember He's calling, He's drawing, and we need to ask Him to continue to reveal Himself to us, so that we can find that forgiveness and love that comes from Him that will move our hearts to love. It's not about what you do. He just told us it's not about being called uncleanness. It's into His presence. And so we start by just entering in, saying thank you. And then as we go, guess what? You never leave. He never leaves us. Like, I might go into my little closet, or whatever you want to call it. And when I shut the door and leave, guess what? He's not done. Most of the time, He speaks to me more when I'm out not paying attention than when I'm sitting there reading. So, like, you know, it kind of brings it all together because I'm not, I don't know, that's just how it works, it seems. Like, oh, that's what that meant. I just want to encourage you. I know there's trials, there's different things, but to keep looking to Him, keep seeking Him, keep entering into His will, which is to enter into His call, which is enter into His presence with thanksgiving and praise. And it all can only happen because He made the way. And so I just encourage you to keep going in that way, but more. Just like Paul said, right? You should abound more and more. Abound more and more. We urge you, increase. That's the Lord's desire, is that we can, and our love continues to increase for Him as He reveals it to us, and as we do, His love will flow through our lives, so that when they see your good deeds, they can glorify your Father who is in heaven. Probably looking at your life knowing it couldn't have come from you. Or at least you know it couldn't. Right? It comes forth good out of this. It's got to be a work of the Lord. And I think really, if you really understand the depravity of man, Jesus says, will I find faith? I think it's amazing to God, I think, in two ways, that so much can be done and there be a lack of faith, and in the same moment, so much can be done, there is faith. It's His working, His perfecting. He began the good work in you, is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And so He wants to continue, He's going to continue to call, not for something, but to Himself. And then from that, He will do what He wants to. So, any thoughts, concerns? Advice, thinking? Well, answer the call. And just enter in with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, that this is your plan. And you have already brought it to fruition. Lord, help us to enter into your plan, enter into your rest, Lord. You tell us that he was entered his rest, his first ceased from his anger. So, Lord, help us to enter in knowing it's by your grace that the veil was torn. And there's a constant call saying, come. Thank you. Lord, we just ask that you would make yourself known to the world and continue to pour your grace out upon us. In Jesus' name.